On this week's episode of Work Trends, we're talking smarter recruiting with Charlene Lauby. Welcome to the Work Trends podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan Ambiro. Every week, I interview interesting people and brands who are reimagining work. For more information, be sure to check us out at talentculture.com and join us live on Twitter every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern using the hashtag WorkTrends. Today's guest is Charlene Lauby. She runs the much-loved site HR Bartender, is president of ITM Group, and has more than 20 years of experience working in HR and organizational development. Welcome to WorkTrends, Charlene.
Thanks for having me, Megan. It's nice to chat with you.
I know, we're both so busy. We actually get to see each other in person in a number of weeks at SHRM Annual, right?
Yeah, in Chicago.
In Chicago. That's one of my favorite cities. I'm so excited about it and excited to see you there. We'll chat for sure. But today, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, recruiting. And you just wrote a new handbook that covers everything a recruiter needs to know. Talk to us about why now and why the book.
I've always been of the impression that the recruiting function was really the first impression many people have of the organization. You know, the way that they come in, I was talking with some recruiters recently about this, and employees remember the person who hired them. So the recruiting function is just so incredibly important. But I have to admit, I'm not sure that I always felt that way. You know, early in my career, I was a generalist, and my boss came to me one day and said, I want you to lead the corporate talent acquisition function for the company. And I thought it was a form of punishment, to be quite honest, because at that point in my career, the only thing that I had really seen about talent acquisition and recruiting was interviewing. And it wasn't until I accepted this role and I really had to start diving in that I realized recruiting has so many moving parts. You know this from your experience. It has so much strategy and so many moving parts that I sat down and said, I want to write the book that I wish my boss would have given me or that somebody would have shared with me when I was asked to lead this corporate talent acquisition function so that I didn't learn everything the hard way.
Thanks for being honest about that, because I think it is really hard. And I think when you talk about what's inspiring you, it's all about how to solve problems, you know? And I mean, I think that's really the rub. I think so many people underestimate how much goes into recruiting, for sure. So I know the book shares a lot of tips about candidate experience, something that I'm very passionate about. What are some common things companies miss when it comes to creating a really great experience for candidates?
I've always worked in industries where the candidate could also be a customer, and that has been ingrained from day one. And not just that the human resources department knows that, but that everybody in the organization realizes that the individuals who are coming to apply for jobs are also the same people. You know, I grew up in hotels and airlines and theme parks. These are the same people buying rooms, and they're doing, you know, plane seats and going to your theme park. So having a hiring process that even at the end of it, a candidate can say, you know, I didn't get the job, but I still love the brand, is important. And you have to think about that every touch point along the way, whether it's how long you make somebody wait before you bring them to your office for the interview, or the partners, like, you know, background checking companies or something like that that you're using. You have to think about candidate, customer in every single step along the way.
No question about it. Talk to us, you're saying you grew up with hotels, et cetera. Give us a little bit of background on where you grew up and where you are now, because I think, you know, context is everything.
I got into HR in a very unique way, and it's not a way that anybody really wants to, imagine or, you know, do for themselves. But I worked for a theme park, and I worked in the education department, and then I got into a car accident. And it was a pretty big car accident, I'll admit. I spent 9 months in a full body cast. And when I was ready to come back to work, my company found a job for me in HR. They gave me, professional development and made an investment so I could be a good HR person. And so I've never forgotten that throughout my career, that, you know, when we're talking about bringing people into the organization, I think about the circumstances for which I became a human resources professional.
That's incredible. And everybody has their own unique story, and yours is no exception with that, right? Talk about an unforgettable experience. And you're right. You were thinking at that time of how you were being treated. And I do think that's a metaphor for the bigger experience that we're talking about, right?
Exactly. Not just the candidate experience, but the employee experience, because those two have to seamlessly flow into one another.
How have you seen the role of HR change over the past, say, two decades, we'll say?
There are a couple of things that really stand out to me in terms of how HR is changing, and I think it's all for good. First of all, I think that technology is becoming a much bigger part of human resources, and I think that that's great. I think that technology allows human resources professionals to focus on things and activities that technology can't do. And then the second part is, in I think it ties into the technology piece a little bit, is that because technology can do so much for us, it can also help us report our metrics and measurements and data to the rest of the organization about what's taking place. I think of many of the functions of HR, talent acquisition is a very numbers-driven function in human resources. And so having that technology piece be able to help us with metrics is fantastic.
What about social media? How do you see that playing into this equation?
I don't want to say that social media is technology, but obviously it uses technology. Back in the old days, and I can say that, you can't, you're still, very young. Back in the old days, we went out to meetings and, we amplified our message individually. And now we have the ability to amplify our message in a much bigger way. So I'm a big fan of using social media, especially for talent acquisition. But one of the things that we have to remember when you're doing that is, if you're going to use social to bring people into the organization, then they are going to expect social in all of the other facets of their career. So you can't bring somebody in using social media and then turn around and say, you need to lock your phone up and you can't use it, during your working day. So if you're going to use social, I think it's a strategic decision, to bring social into the workplace and make it part of your culture.
Well stated. And Charlene, you're much too kind. I'm actually a Gen Xer, believe it or not. So I've been around long enough to be dangerous. some people think I'm a millennial, though. So and I'm okay with that, right? Because it's not really about... And this is actually a bigger picture. It's not really about what generation we're from anymore. And that's a lot of what you're talking about right now. Like, if you're going to use it, use it. I don't care what generation you're from, right? When you start talking about baking in a social culture, it's everywhere. It's pervasive. So you're right. It is a technology when you look at it that way. And it's part of culture. It's part of everything we do now, right? Whether we're leaders, employers, employees, we're all using it. It's just a matter of, are you dedicated to actually coming up with a strategy on how you do that, especially for larger enterprise? That gets much more complicated. So speaking of complicated, what advice do you have for somebody who's just starting out in HR right now? Because to your point, these are different times.
They are, but I think that the other piece that's really wonderful is there are so many terrific resources out there. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Society for Human Resource Management and the work that they're doing. I feel very fortunate that when I got into HR, my boss was very involved with SHRM, and she encouraged me to go to meetings, and she encouraged me to become a volunteer leader. And you learn a lot through those kinds of things. So I would say to somebody who's starting in HR, go out there and find organizations that you can be a part of. And in addition to that, you know, the SHRM piece, I also had bosses who said, you know, you need to go to the chamber's leadership, you know, type programs. And, you know, I'm a graduate of Leadership Florida and those kinds of things. So it was getting a real well-rounded experience, both in terms of my HR knowledge, as well as my business knowledge and being able to understand the community and what's happening there, along with the different functions of business.
Where does recruiting live with HR from your point of view? Or does it not? Is that a whole separate category as people are thinking about what they want to be in the HR space? How do they view talent acquisition, recruiting in HR, for example?
I think talent acquisition is a part of the HR function because talent acquisition has to interact with so many pieces. I mean, even if talent acquisition was a standalone function in your organization versus, you know, HR operations, and I've seen that organizational structure on a chart, talent acquisition in your company, when you have talent acquisition must work with comp and benefits. Talent acquisition must work with learning and development. All of those pieces need to be in alignment for the best candidate and employee experience. So whether talent acquisition resides in the human resources department or doesn't reside in the human resources department, it still plays a critical role in the alignment of the candidate and employee experience. And it has to, from a function standpoint, it has to operate that way, regardless of where it sits on the org chart.
And what do you think it takes to really be successful
in
HR?
I think HR people need to understand the business that they're in. They need to know how their business works. They need to know how their business makes money and how they contribute to that. You know, we talk about, from a classic employee engagement standpoint, we say that if you want employees to be truly engaged in the organization when it comes to things like hiring and interviewing and orientation and onboarding, you need to show people how they're connected to the mission, vision, values of the organization. We as HR people need to do that for ourselves, and we need to know how we contribute to the mission, vision, values of the organization and how we're going to make our mark. But I think you figure out how you make your mark by understanding how the business operates and what are the key positions within the organization and how they make money and how they contribute to the bottom line, those kinds of things.
I love it because so often we don't hear bottom line and everybody's talking about HR having a seat at the table. What's wrong with that picture? You have to understand the operational side of the business. So glad you brought that up.
If you want the operation to come to you, you know, if you want the operation to come to you and say, what do you think about this? Then you have to understand where they're coming from.
So listen, you've run a successful small business for many years now. What was it like making that switch from corporate HR to running your own business?
On some level, I was very fortunate that when I became a consultant, you know, I went out there and I called everybody I knew and said, oh, by the way, I'm becoming a consultant. And one of my friends said, well, get over here right now because I have work for you to do. So, I was very fortunate from that standpoint. But I spent years before I decided to become a consultant talking with people who did consulting. And I was very lucky that I would reach out to people who had been consultants and say, can I buy you lunch, dinner, breakfast, coffee, you know, whatever, and pick your brain. And ask them questions like, what's the first thing you did when you became a consultant? What was the biggest mistake that you made? I really went out there and tried to understand what being a consultant was like. And as much as you do that, you're still going to run into situations along the way where you're like, oh, nobody told me that consulting was kind of like this. But I really went out there and talked to people who were consultants to figure it out.
When you ask that painful question that so often we have to ask, what are the big mistakes? Or do you have any advice to those who are going off on their own now? Anything they could do to avoid the pitfalls that, you know, you and I and others who run a small business, it's inevitable. You're not going to get it right all the time, even if you ask questions. That's the scary part.
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I received was, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So from a marketing perspective, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs told me, we went out there and I got that one big client. And then all of a sudden, that one big client went away.
Yeah.
And I was scrambling. And I would say that the second piece, and nobody can give you this advice, you need to be self-aware enough to know this. You have to know enough about how you like to work so that you don't make yourself crazy. You know, when I first became a consultant, I would get up in the morning and get dressed in a suit like I was going to a corporate place and sit in my spare office, you know, here in my home. And I was making myself crazy. And I finally had to,
Charlene, I love you. I love you dearly. Right. You and I have known each other for years. I'm really hoping that's not still happening for you.
Because that's
a lot of pressure to put on yourself, especially now that, you know, the culture is different, right? We all dress down more so now than ever, but great point, right? What you were really doing was setting up a mindset for yourself. Thanks.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that you have to do is, you know, you heard from people that all the distractions are a big downside of, you know, when you work out of your home or you're a virtual employee or something like that, that the distractions. Well, I overcompensated for those distractions. Yeah. And at some point in time, you know, you just have to sit yourself down and go, look, girl, you need to get it together. And it's okay if you walk into your kitchen and, you know, it's okay if you listen to a song during the day that'll energize you. And it's okay if you want to wear jeans and a t-shirt. So once I kind of lightened up a little bit and really realized that what I was doing was transitioning into a more blended lifestyle, that made work fun. Mm-hmm. And that completely changed the way that I look at consulting.
You have this really interesting side project called the Unretirement Project. I want to hear more about this.
We started the Unretirement Project about a year ago because one of the things, when I worked in the hotel industry, our corporate attorney would ask me for a favor once a year. And the favor was that he wanted lunch reservations for him and his wife in our hotel restaurant on New Year's Day. I would do it. You know, he's a great attorney. I was happy to, you know, do a favor for him. And, you know, after a couple of years, I finally got up the, you know, nerve to ask him, you know, what are you doing on New Year's Day in our restaurant? And he said, my wife and I like to go and have a nice long lunch on New Year's Day and talk about life. We want to talk about our life. We want to talk about our home. We want to talk about our jobs. We want to talk about our future. Hmm. And I said, wow, I like that idea. So one of the things that we do, especially now that we own our own company, is we get away once a year and sit down and have a conversation about life. You know,
we, I just heard the word we. Who is that? Do tell.
My husband, Mr. Bartender.
Just making sure we all know.
Yeah, Mr. Bartender and I sit down once a year and we have this conversation about life. But one of the pieces of that conversation is, what do we want our retirement to look like? And I love blogging. I absolutely love blogging. It's just great fun. I enjoy it. And so we decided that we wanted to have a blog going into our retirement. Well, I guess it wouldn't be retirement, you know, if you're, you know, still doing the blogging thing. So I look at athletes that unretire, you know, Marshawn Lynch or, you know, people like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be unretired too. I don't have to just turn off the faucet one day and all of a sudden say, I'm not doing anything anymore. And I'm not the only one. We're not the only people who are thinking that way. And so we decided that we're going to start a blog and talk about our journey from entrepreneur into this unretirement. I mean, we're not there yet. We have years to go, but it'll be a fun journey to share with everybody.
Love it. And I mean, we're all moving in that direction, right? More and more people have flexible work schedules, and that's only going to just increase. So very interesting. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about how you keep learning. I know that's really important to myself and the talent culture community. I know you were at SHRM Talent in Vegas last week.
Right.
What's happening? What was interesting there?
One of the, I heard a couple of super interesting presentations. One of them was about how to decipher the military resume. And this is a presentation. Have you ever watched a movie that the second time you watched the movie, you picked up things that you didn't catch the first time? And the third time you watched the movie, you picked up things that you didn't see the first two times you watched it? This was one of those presentations that was so jam-packed full of fantastic information that you could listen to it, my guess is, a good 6 or 7 times, and each time learn something new that you hadn't learned before. I don't know this for sure, but it's possible that if you weren't at SHRM Talent, you might be able to pick it up via recording. But it was just a fantastic session about deciphering military resumes. So I thought that was really cool. And then the second one had to do with building a social army. And, you know, one of the things that I think SHRM does really, really well is they've built this volunteer army that goes out there and talks about SHRM. Well, I thought it was interesting that the speaker, Joey Price, was talking about building a social army to go out there and amplify your messaging. So I would say that those were the two, like, really great presentations that I heard along the way.
Joey Price is part of the talent culture community. So there you go. It's a small world, right?
It is.
And he's great at what he does and he's passionate. And I think that's half the battle, is just being passionate, knowing what you like to do, and you can get there. And I think that's the message here for anyone who's running their own business or running their own organization. But you can do that no matter what size company you're at, right? It doesn't matter. It's just about showing up and knowing that we have all these tools now. How do we use it? So very interesting. We talk a lot here about the future of work, as you know. So how do you predict work will change in the next 5 years?
I believe that work is becoming more employee driven. So, you know, years ago, companies made policies and they filtered them down to employees and they said, this is how we're going to get things done. I see that model sort of kind of turning on its head, and more organizations are going to let employees drive the conversation as a way to build culture and build engagement within the organization.
No question about it. So finally, Charlene, tell our audience where they can find you.
Well, obviously you can find me at HR Bartender, and that's where I am in places like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. You can just find me at HR Bartender.
You know what? It's simple, it's elegant, and it's you. And I appreciate you for being here today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'd be really grateful if you took a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find our show. If you know someone who would enjoy listening, please share it with them. You can learn more about the future of work at talentculture.com.